My name is Bear Gordon from Austin, Texas. I am an executive consultant with Ambit Energy, and you can be too. Yes, you can. And guys, here's one of the first steps. You've got to believe you can. You've got to believe that you can do this. You've got to be persistent and consistent enough to build the business and hang in there long enough to have this business happen for you. It's not going to happen overnight, but it is going to happen. And when you believe it, you can achieve it. Now, we do this call every Sunday evening, 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Pacific time, and at 11 o'clock in the morning in Tokyo, in Japan. So we want to welcome everyone that's calling in, listening in from Japan, as well as our consultants and new consultants and guests from the country of Canada. Welcome to all of you. I hope you guys had a wonderful time watching the Olympics, building your business. Glad to have you with us today, okay? Now, you hear people talking on this call about being registered for the big events. We talk about it every week because it's just that important. And we have a couple of big events that are coming up that if you're not registered for, guys, you need to get this done. Power Trip, April 12th, 13th, 14th, Dallas, Texas. Now, this is going to be one of the major big events that we have during the course of the year. Being that it's in Dallas, Texas, you've got some extra benefits and perks. We're going to have an all-star business presentation on Thursday night, the 12th. On Friday morning, we're going to have a leadership breakfast with number one income earner Brian McClure, Ray Monte, Joey Carter, maybe a few others. That event alone is worth the cost of admission. I've always enjoyed the leadership breakfast, and I've been fired up and ready to go back to work right after that event is over. But then you have an opportunity to go take a corporate tour of our corporate facilities, and you may find Jerry Thompson sitting at his desk working really hard. You'll find other members of the staff. You'll get to meet them and see them and understand what Ambit Energy is all about. You get to go see the Lamar facility. You may actually be able to go to Plano as well and see our call center. And then we have various other events that come on. And then that evening, we have a Q&A with our co-founder, CEO, Mr. Jerry Thompson. If Chris Chambliss is in town, he joins us. But that's one of the best parts of the event because you get to ask him questions. Anything that you want, unscripted, as long as it doesn't have anything to do with expansion or it has anything to do with something that consultant support or customer service can answer. And then on Saturday, you have the opportunity to be trained by the best of the best of the best on how to build this business. Not only will we cover some of the mechanics, but we will cover some of the methodology, the mindset that's most important for you to be successful in your Ambit Energy business. Folks, if you've never been a Power Trip before, you have got to go. And if you've been a Power Trip before and you haven't registered, hurry up. It's liable to sell out. Go ahead and get your tickets now. And then in August 29th, 30th, 31st, September 1st, the National Conference, Ambition 2018, again in Dallas, Texas. We're going to have several hosts. Hotels going on, but guys, I got to tell you, if you're in Ambit Energy and you're committed to building a successful business, there's no reason other than maybe a serious death or something like that, that you should not attend the national conference. You can go into your power zone, get registered for the event. It's not going to get any cheaper than it is right now. And if you're within your first 30 days, you get a discount for registering for the national conference. Folks, the attendee-only bonuses alone are worth more than the cost of admission, and you're going to get the best training, the best information firsthand, and get to mix and mingle with the leaders in this great company from coast to coast. Go get registered for the national event, okay? Now, it's my honor. It is always my honor and privilege to introduce to you our featured speaker for the evening. Guys, I tell you before, he doesn't need an introduction. Okay, he is the co-creator of the Power Trip event and still hosting that event today. He is our number one income earner, dear friend of mine, one of the top 10 income earners in network marketing worldwide, and we get to listen to him here. Please welcome national consultant Mr. Brian McClure. Welcome to the call, buddy.
Hey, thank you, Bear. We had a big weekend at Pecan Bluff, my ranch up in Whitney, Texas this weekend. Had about 40 fired up Ambit consultants there, and We did karaoke Saturday night, so I lost my voice a little bit, but we had a lot of fun despite the not so great weather, but a lot of learning, a lot of fellowship, a lot of great relationships developed, just a great group of people, really, really enjoyed this weekend. I want to hop right into what I want to speak to you about tonight. Hopefully you've brought pen and paper to the call. And it's a subject I haven't talked about in a while, but it's something that I believe is absolutely unequivocally the cornerstone or the foundation of how to build your ambient energy business. And what I'm talking about is in-home presentations. And I use the word in-home lightly. You know, it can apply to in-conference room or that sort of thing. But these are intimate settings, not hotel meetings. That's different. But typically held in somebody's home or somebody's apartment. But there's an art to it. You know, it's kind of like putting on a production or a play. And it reminds me every time I talk on this subject, it reminds me of the five P's. Proper planning prevents poor performance. Again, the five P's are proper planning prevents poor performance. And, you know, so many times somebody will do an in-home meeting and, you know, it's just not planned properly. So I want to go over a few things that are really, really critical in the planning of an in-home meeting. You know, first off, when a new person joins your business, you should be talking to them about having a grand opening. Just like a retail store opens up, they have a grand opening. Their grand opening should be an in-home meeting. Now, you're going to run into situations where maybe they don't live in the nicest neighborhood, or maybe just the physical layout of their apartment wouldn't allow for enough people to sit around a television, or maybe there's a set of circumstances that would just prevent them from having it in their particular home. But that doesn't mean you can't host it in your home, or they can't bring somebody into their business and have it at their home. So when we say an in-home meeting, understand that some people are not going to be comfortable having it in their home. You know, I had a situation once where a person lived on the fifth floor and there was no elevator, you know, so that's not the most ideal situation. You know, you might have parking issues, you know, if you lived in the Back Bay of Boston or something like that, or Manhattan, you know, somebody have to come to an in-home, have to pay $50 to go parking. So there's always exceptions. There's always, you have to be flexible about it. But we're talking about in-home meetings, typically in one's home or apartment. And the planning of it is essential. Let me go over a few real-life circumstances that happened to me and some things that are really, really important. First off, you have to eliminate all the distractions. So if you're doing the in-home meeting, what you need to do is you need to get there before, or preferably even go prior to the night of, and they're typically done in the evening. Now, you do have in-homes, you know, on Saturdays and Sunday afternoons, what have you, but typically they're done in the evening, typically about 7 o'clock, so people can get there, go to the meeting, and get back home at a reasonable hour to get to work the next day. That's not set in stone. You can start them any time you want to. But what you want to do is eliminate all the distractions. So that includes children. You know, I was doing an in-home once, and, you know, in comes the son bouncing the basketball through the living room that we're doing the in-home in. You know, so if there's children involved, they need to be coached to be quiet, to, you know, be upstairs, downstairs, down the hall, in their bedrooms, whatever, and not be distracting, not coming in and mommy, 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 I can't find Snickers bars, can you come help me type stuff. So you want to eliminate all distractions, which not only include children, but also include pets. I was doing an in-home several years ago, and they had one of those birds that talked back to you. And, you know, certain words you would say, and the bird would spit out that word because that was one of the words that they knew. So, you know, whether it's that, whether it's cats, whether it's dogs, last thing you want is somebody in the middle of an in-home meeting have a cat jump up in their lap and distract them. anything that can distract the guest is bad, because it could be that one moment that you're saying something that is going to make the impact, that's going to give them decision to join, and that distraction occurs, and boom, they missed it, and they don't get into business. So the other thing is telephones. You know, most people have cordless phones. Take all the phones and put them someplace where they're not going to ring in the middle of the meeting. You know, when you start your meeting, you ask people to silence their phones and put their phones away and promise them it's not going to take long. A lot of times I'll joke about, you know, hey, you might have to withdrawals at the end of this 30 or 45 minute presentation, but if you don't mind, if you could put your phones away and or put them on stun, I would appreciate it. You would be amazed the number of people that are in a meeting that will pull their phone out and return texts or look at Facebook or what have you. Not only do they not receive the information, but the people next to them are distracted by it as well. So anything that could be a distraction. You know, I was at a in-home once, and actually gone to the home previously during the day. And when I went at night, I found out they had one of those lava lamps. And so that lava lamp, in fact, there were two of them, that lava lamp was going 9,000 miles an hour, is very bright and very distracting. You know, so anything at all that can be distracting, you want to eliminate. The other thing that people feel compelled to do is they feel that because they're inviting people to their home, that they have to entertain them. And so they'll go to a Jason's Deli or Subway and get one of those big, long Subway sandwiches and cut them up into pieces and put the chips out and, you know, put, you know, five or six different types of soft drinks or what have you. You don't want to serve, alcohol, even if the group that's coming is used to coming over to the house and drinking wine or whatever. That's not, something you want to do at a meeting. So you don't want to have any food either. You know, if you just feel absolutely compelled to put food out, you know, put out some goldfish or, you know, some peanuts or something like that. Let me tell you why that's important. It's important because you want the people that are going to get in the business that night to have a grand opening and have an in-home meeting as well. And the bottom line is that they're getting in the business to make money. And so when they sit there and they look at $200 worth of food, or, you know, you brought in pizza, whatever it is, they're going, oh, I couldn't do this because I couldn't afford to do the food. So the key to our business, whether it's an in-home meeting or anything else, is to dumb everything down so what the system is duplicable to the lowest level of competency. And so you have to, believe me, this is important. And some people, you know, particularly if you're in an affluent crowd, they're, oh, no, I couldn't have people over my house without, you know, entertaining. So this is something that you have to manage. You know, sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes it's something I have not been able to manage, and they put the food out, and it just is what it is, and, you know, we go on. And, you know, tray of cookies is okay, just something very minimal. You know, you want to have water available, that sort of thing, but not a whole bunch of soft drinks, and definitely not alcohol. The other thing is that you want to make sure, when I do an in-home, and I don't on this call have the time to go into the blow-by-blow of how I actually do an in-home, but at a high level, basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the video, and then I'm going to talk in between the videos that I play. And when I talk, I'm going to have what I call flash tools. These are articles that are laminated or, you know, magazines that I have, whatever. And as I talk about the credibility of the company, I'm going to hold up the Inc. 500 magazine. Okay, now you can, you know, put those on slides if you want to and go over it that way. That's fine. I like to have the actual articles themselves. But it's not necessary. So I use a combination of speaking to them and using videos. So what does that mean? Well, that means that you need to make sure that the equipment that they have, whether they're going to run a cable and run the video off of their laptop or off of their phone, or whether they're going to use a DVD, to run the video. Bottom line is that you need to make sure that that works. After a while, when you've done this for a while, you've got every cord conceivable to mankind, so you can make every connection, every converter that there is. And, you know, you typically are going to bring a bag in and have all that, but you need to make sure that you don't get there and all of a sudden you can't play the video or the audio doesn't work on the video or what have you. So I'll give you another example. I was up north of Fort Worth doing a meeting, and I got there and asked them over the phone, because they were 4 hours drive away from my home in Austin. I asked them over the phone, kind of went over the checklist with them, went over the food, went over the distractions, told them I'd get there an hour early, make sure you've got a DVD player. Oh, yeah, we've got a DVD player. Well, sure enough, I get there about a half an hour early because there was a bad wreck on the interstate, so it delayed me for about a half an hour fighting through that delay. I get there about a half an hour early, and I say, okay, where's the DVD player? And the DVD player was their son's PlayStation. Well, the son was over at a friend's house, and they didn't know how to play a DVD in the PlayStation. So they're frantically trying to get the son to see if he can come home. You know, proper planning prevents poor performance. You know, if you take a lackadaisical attitude towards the planning of your in-home, what will happen is something will go wrong. You know, the Peter principle, it's going to happen to you. And so the more of these you do, the more you get your group doing them, the better you'll get at it. But it's really, really important that you plan them out properly. Now, with in-homes, let me tell you a couple of things about in-homes. When they're inviting people to their grand opening or to their in-home, there's a lot higher show rate than if you're trying to get them to a hotel. And the reason is a lot of them are conveniently located. A lot of them feel comfortable. And they're not inviting them to come over and join them in a business. They're inviting them to come over and take a look at a new business that they've joined, that they're excited. And when they're inviting them over the phone, they can actually say to them, you know, Bob, this very probably is not something you'd be interested in from a business opportunity perspective. Maybe it would be, and if it is, we'll certainly talk about that. But the real reason I want you to come is, you know, it's the grand opening to my business. I'd like for you to know what it is I'm doing. And if at some point in the future, whether it's that night or a week from now or a month from now or a year from now, we've been friends for years, you could refer somebody my way, I sure would appreciate it. Because the reason I got involved in the business, as you know, is I work at the post office, and of course that's got a limited income, and Johnny's in eighth grade, and I need to start building that college fund, and this is the vehicle that I felt like I could do in my spare time to build the college fund. So it's really, really important to me, and I'd really appreciate it if you and Mary could, you know, come over. It's not going to be anything fancy. We're not going to put a whole lot of food out. It's not going to be a big spread, but I want you to meet Brian McClure, you know, or whoever's going to come, and, you know, that's typically going to be you going to help somebody. So they're going to be saying, hey, I want you to meet Bear Gordon. You know, he's my business partner. He knows a lot more about it than I do. And, you know, you just couldn't learn from a better person. It's probably only going to take about an hour. And like I said, I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm not trying to get you to join anything. Bottom line is, I just want you to come and check out what I'm doing and help me in any way that you see appropriate. So what happens is that takes all the pressure off of them to attend this grand opening. You know, do me a favor. It's the same way that we ask for a customer. Do me a favor and come and attend the grand opening to my new business. Well, what is it? Well, it's a business where we can make money every time somebody turns on a light switch, watches a television, leaves their refrigerator, plugs in, burns electricity any time of the day or night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, year after year after year after year. And then teach your person that's doing the inviting to use this line. It's more visual than it is verbal, and that's why, as a favor, I would like for you to just come over, spend about an hour with Betsy and I, take a look at this thing, and if you can help me, great. If you can't, hey, that's okay too. And you know, if you make sure that, and you can sit down with them and actually help them with the invitation process, if you'll make sure that your new person that's going to be inviting people to their new grand opening are inviting them to come to take a look and to get their opinion, they're not inviting them to come join a business opportunity. And again, they can actually say, you know, it may or may not be something that you're interested in. That's not why I'm inviting you. I just want you to see what's going on. If it's something you're interested in, you know, we can discuss it. If it's not, hey, it's no big deal. But I want you to know a little bit more about my business. And I've got Bear Gordon, who's just a great guy. I want you to meet him. We've become friends through the business. And he's the expert, so I'd rather you hear it from them versus hear it from me. So the invitation is important, and the invitation needs to come from the person that's inviting them to their home or to the conference room at their office building or wherever that invitation is, or wherever that small intimate meeting is being held. So I want you to think about the foundation of the in-home being the foundation or the farm system, if you will, for the hotel meeting. So let's say your hotel meeting is, you know, in your city is on a Thursday night. You know, you're going to have your in-homes Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evenings, okay? Or Saturday afternoons or Sunday afternoons. You know, you're going to do your in-homes on other nights of the week besides Thursday night. And at the end of the in-home, you're going to invite everybody at the in-home that has any interest to come to the hotel meeting on Thursday night. And so some of those people will have already joined the business. Some people that the hotel meeting will be a second look. And the way you're going to do it, let's say they're in real estate, you're going to say something along the lines of, "Hey, John, I'd really love for you to bring Mary, since she couldn't come tonight for this grand opening, to a meeting that's down at the Hilton Garden Inn on Fifth Street. And a reason I'd love for you to come is I've got a person, her name's Mary Jones, and Mary's a realtor just like you are, and she's really, really done well with the business. And I'd like you to meet Mary and see how it's applicable to her real estate business and how she did it without conflicting with her real estate business, integrated it in as an additional profit center in her real estate business." So the way you're going to invite them to the hotel meeting is you're going to invite them at, you know, because you want to introduce them to some other people that are in their vocation or could, you know, there's some sort of connectivity with them, you know, and you want to introduce them so they can talk to them about how they added this as a profit center to that vocation. So, you know, that's a really, really good way to get people, "Well, yeah, I would like to meet somebody else in real estate and how, you know, how it's working for them." So it's a great way to get them to come to the meeting. Now, here's where I hope you have paper and pencil, or if not, you can follow this along with me. If you look at a calendar of a month, let's just say you've got 4 Mondays, 4 Tuesdays, 4 Wednesdays, 4 Thursdays, 4 Fridays, 4 Saturdays, and 4 Sundays. Of course, we all know it doesn't work out like that. Sometimes you have 5 of one of those. But if you go and do an in-home for your new person, grand opening, Justin, let's just keep it simple and let's say it's Monday night. What happens is that what you're talking to Justin about is learning how to do in-homes themselves. And the way you'll do that after Justin has joined the business, you'll talk to him about, you know, having a grand opening, an in-home meeting, and say, "Justin, you know, during that meeting, what I want you to do is I want you to basically be a trainee. I'm going to teach you how we do in-home meetings. And then if we meet with success and it's something you want to continue, I'd like for you to consider to continue to have in-home meetings, because if you're successful in getting a half a dozen people there, we're probably going to put one or two of them in your business. And then you could have an in-home meeting the next Monday night, and they could bring people, and they could use that as their grand opening." So on Monday nights, it's you as the experienced consultant with your trainee, Justin. Okay, and you're going to get Justin to commit to that meeting for the first four Mondays in a row for 1 month. And it's with the understanding that you're training Justin on how to do that meeting so that the next month he can take somebody in his group and he can start doing in-homes for his group. So it's you plus a trainee. In this case, the name is Justin. The first meeting, the first Monday, you're basically going to do 100% of the meeting. Justin's going to stand up. He's going to welcome everybody on behalf of he and his wife to the grand opening. He's going to talk about his enthusiasm. And the most important thing he's going to do in the beginning of that meeting is twofold. One, he's going to tell his why he got involved in the business. And then the second thing Justin's going to do is Justin's going to edify you as the person who's doing the meeting. And you're going to do the meeting, and you're going to instruct Justin. You can get there an hour ahead of time. You can go over the phones, the kids, the dogs, the cats, the pets, the food, everything. You can go over all that with him so that he has that knowledge base to do that when he goes and does in-homes. And then you're going to do the majority of the meeting, and you're going to tell Justin, you need to watch how I do this meeting. The reason I use videos in the meeting is that Justin doesn't have to be a great speaker. You know, I literally, Brian McClure, number one income earner in Ambit Energy, do in-home meetings using videos, okay? I mean, that's what I do, okay? Because why? Because you want to duplicate at the lowest level of competency. Justin doesn't know much about the business. He may be a little bit shy. He may not feel comfortable, you know, doing the PowerPoint presentation. Whatever, you need to come up with a system that you think will duplicate the easiest. So then the second week, so the first week you're doing about 100% of the meeting. The second week, you know, maybe you're Justin's welcoming everybody to his home again and everything, and he's talking about the beginning of the meeting, you know, use the flash tools, and I talk about the credibility of the business. So maybe Justin does that part, I do the rest of the meeting. So Justin maybe does, you know, 20-25% of the meeting, I'm doing 75% of the meeting. The next week, Justin's doing 50-60-70% of the meeting, I'm doing 30% of the meeting. And the last week, Justin's doing the primarily the entire meeting himself. So he's gone through, you know, the prep before the first meeting, he's gone through three meetings, and his fourth meeting, he's actually doing the meeting. Somewhere along the third or fourth week, if this is being successful and people are showing up and the people are getting into the business, Justin has identified who he's going to have as his trainee the next month. So let's just say it's the month of January. It's me as a consultant, my trainee, Justin. We did four in-homes in the month of January. Now, go fast forward to February. I'm going to continue to do an in-home with a new trainee. So my new trainee is going to be Mary. And then Justin is going to take his new person, Sue, and they're going to start doing their in-homes on a Tuesday night. Or maybe they're going to continue on Monday night. I'm going to go work with somebody on Tuesday night. Justin's trained. I don't need to be at those in-homes anymore. So I've got a new trainee. Justin's got a new trainee, and it duplicates itself in the third month. So in the second month, we've done eight in-homes because I've duplicated myself and Justin. And then Justin and I are duplicating ourselves in the third month. We're doing 16 in-home meetings. Now, theoretically, that's the way it should work. But I'll tell you that you'll have trainees that will, you know, do one meeting and then they didn't have a good turnout, or their wife doesn't like it being at their house, or, you know, their mother said no to being a customer. So, you know, where they're fired up and committed to doing a month's worth of meetings, you know, they're basically out of the business. So it doesn't always work that the first month you'll have four in-homes, and the second month you'll have eight, and the third month you'll have 16. You know, sometimes, quite honestly, it can grow faster than that. There's no magic sauce to a person has to be a trainee for 4 weeks. You know, a person can do a couple of them and say, hey, I can do this. I want to start doing them at my house myself, and it can go faster than that. But the bottom line is that if you're brand new on this call tonight and you're just getting started in your business, how powerful would it be for you to, in your third month of being in the business, have 16 in-home meetings going on in your organization? And folks, I can tell you that when I was in XL Telecommunications in Salt Lake City, there were months where we had over 200 in-home meetings going on in Salt Lake. We were putting in hundreds of people into the business. When I first started in this business in the South Lake area of right north of Fort Worth in the Dallas area, you know, we had it going on where we had, you know, probably 50 or 60 in-home meetings going on in a month, month after month after month. And if you want to know why your hotel meeting is stagnant or shrinking or not expanding, it's because it doesn't have the feeder system of the in-home meetings. Now, the other thing that I'll mention to you, I mentioned in my example that the in-home meeting was on Thursday night. You typically don't, I mean, the hotel meeting, rather, was on a Thursday night in your city is the example I was using. You typically don't want to have in-homes on Thursday night, but because you want everybody coming to the hotel meeting. But, you know, the hotel meeting in Austin, Texas is on the northern part of Austin. And if I've got somebody that is doing in-homes, you know, 45 minutes away in a southern suburb or, you know, an eastern suburb or a western suburb or something that's not, you know, the probability that those people are going to travel up there to go to that Thursday night meeting is not great. So I'll continue to do in-homes on Thursday night, even though it conflicts with the hotel meeting that's, you know, 40 or 50 minutes away. And in a town like Chicago, it's even, you know, or Dallas or Fort Worth or New York or Boston or any of the bigger markets, this is even more prevalent where you'll continue to, you'll do in-home meetings in another suburb of the city. And then what you're going to do is you're going to form your own Thursday night meeting at some point rather than trying to feed them into a meeting that's a half an hour, 45 minutes or an hour away. Just get busy with your in-home meetings, and then all the people in your group that are doing the in-home meetings form a hotel meeting that's in that part of the city that people can come to. So, you know, a lot of times, whether you do an in-home or not on the night of the hotel meeting depends on the geographical location of the in-home and the geographical location of the growth of your in-homes. Because a lot of times they'll be in different parts of the city. So if you've got a group growing in the northern part of the city and there's a good meeting on Thursday night at a hotel in the northern part of the city, you're not going to do in-homes on Thursday night in the northern part of the city. But you're in the southern part of the city and, you know, maybe there's a good hotel meeting there too that's on Wednesday night. Well, then you're not going to do Wednesday night. If there's no meeting at all and it's too far for them to go to the northern part of the city, then what you're going to do is you're going to just build numbers and go get you a small, you know, Hilton Garden Inn or a Sleep Inn or something like that that has the 50, 75 person meeting rooms. Put some money together with the people that are doing the in-homes. Everybody contributes. You go get your hotel meeting and then grow up from there. So I believe, and if, you know, I was looking the other day and on Facebook, and Tony Procopio up in Connecticut, you know, had an in-home meeting, had a picture, you know, 15, 20 people sitting in the living room. And, you know, Tony's built the vast majority of his business on doing in-homes. Jeff Rollins, the same way. I could go on and on and on. And the legs of my business that are the most productive, that are growing the fastest, are the ones that not only are doing in-homes themselves, but have duplicated within their organizations other leaders doing in-homes because the atmosphere is just so much more comfortable. And I can tell you that the in-home meeting foundationally is the reason that my business has gotten to the size that it is. You know, not so much in Japan. They're not as big in in-home meetings because the physical constraints of the square footage of the home is smaller, not number one. And it's, they do, you know, coffee shop meetings is the way they build their meetings. So the culture is a little bit different there. We do in-home meetings over there, but it's not as big in there as it is in the United States. Haven't worked the Canadian market. Not sure how applicable it is there, though I know it would work just like it does in Japan. But in the United States, which is what most of the people on this call are from, what I can tell you is if you've not been utilizing in-home meetings, I can tell you that you're missing out on just the rebar, if you will, the the formation of the foundation of your business is in that in-home meeting. You can go to topambitleaders.com, my training website, topambitleaders.com. You can click on Ambit TV and then click on the Brian McClure channel. And there's some video of me talking about System 16, how to get these 16 in-home meetings up and running in your business the third month by just starting out with you and a trainee to begin with. So there's some additional information there. Probably drilled down on it a little bit more on that in that video. So hopefully I've brought value to you tonight. Hopefully maybe some of you that have fallen out of doing in-homes will get re-engaged in doing in-homes. We had a lot of testimony to how great people were doing the in-home meetings at the ranch this weekend, and thought I'd bring it back up. Haven't talked about it in a while. Sometimes you just assume people are doing what you think they're doing, and they're not necessarily doing what you think they're doing. So I can again assure you that in-home meetings is the foundational cornerstone of how to build your Ambit Energy business. Those grand openings are powerful, powerful, powerful if they're marketed properly. And if you coach the person on how to invite them to just come and give their opinion and support them in the opening of their business, not trying to invite them to come and join some network marketing company. Huge distinction, big difference. When you get good at it, you're going to watch your business blow up in a big kind of way. Well, I think my voice is about at it. So, Bear, if you would, let's open it back up and let everybody say good night.
Well, I tell you, Brian, it's really impressive to hear a little extra bass in your voice and to think that you lost your voice singing karaoke.
It was fun, I promise you. It was karaoke coupled with the Modelo, okay?
Gotcha. While I was listening to Brian, I thought about something. How would you like to have Brian McClure teach your group how to do in-home meetings? Would you love to have that opportunity to get your group together and have Brian McClure teach your group? Here's the way you can do it. In a couple of days, go to topambitleaders.com. This information is going to be up. Get your group together. Listen to this call. Even better, get face-to-face with your group and look at the videos on topambitleaders.com where he talks about System 16, in-home meetings, and how to make this thing happen. Man, he laid out a really good layout, a really great plan. I'm going to talk to my team about putting it together, and I hope that you do the same. Brian, thanks for being on the call. You always bring value to us, and we appreciate you giving us your time.
You bet. I enjoyed it.
All right, folks, I'm going to open up the lines. Brian's going to hang on for just a quick second, and you can say thank you, too. Here we go.